This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
The Senate gets the case. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal. Along with Jennifer Koshenka, it is Thursday, January 16. Thanks for joining us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The two articles of impeachment against President Trump have been sent to the Senate after House Speaker Nancy Pelosi signed off on them.
President Trump has signed the so-called Phase 1 trade agreement with China. We'll identify the three main items in it.
The tension between presidential candidates Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders has gone public.
I think you called me a liar on national TV.
You'll hear what was captured on a hot mic after Tuesday's debate.
And concern on the health front, more Americans are dying of heart disease and strokes in middle age, even in healthy areas.
Researchers, cardiologists believe that it's a combination of things. It's mainly rising obesity and diabetes rates everywhere across the country, including in Colorado.
Reporter Betsy McKay at the Wall Street Journal on the rise of cardiovascular disease among younger people. Begin things in Washington, where, as expected, the House has delivered two articles of impeachment against President Trump to the Senate. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi signed off on the articles yesterday after a vote to approve seven Democratic managers to present the case before the Republican-controlled Senate.
The emphasis is on litigators. The emphasis is on comfort level in the courtroom. The emphasis is making the strongest possible case to protect and defend our Constitution.
After her signing ceremony, she handed out commemorative pens. The managers aim to advance Democrats' arguments that Mr. Trump should be removed from office. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says senators are expected to be sworn in today for the trial.
We'll pledge to rise above the petty factionalism and do justice for our institutions, for our states, and for the nation. And then we will formally notify the White House of our pending trial and summon the president to answer the articles and send his counsel.
Proceedings are scheduled to get underway in earnest next Tuesday and last about 2 weeks. One lingering question to be settled: will additional witnesses be called? The lawmakers chosen by Speaker Pelosi to serve as managers during the impeachment trial of President Trump will get a distinction earned by only a few people in history. Their presentations before the Senate are among Democrats' last chances to persuade Republicans and the American public on the merits of impeachment. All seven are Democrats. Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff of California, Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler of New York, Hakeem Jeffries, also of New York, Val Demings of Florida, Zoe Lofgren of California, Jason Crow of Colorado, and Sylvia Garcia of Texas. What exactly will they do as managers? We're joined now by Nicholas Wu, politics reporter at USA Today. Nicholas, what can we expect?
The manager is somewhat of a misnomer for what these seven different members of Congress will be doing during the Senate trial. It's more akin to what a prosecutor would do during a criminal trial. And their job is to present the House's case for impeachment over to the Senate.
All right, so they are actually just in front of the, or I shouldn't say just, but in front of the 100 senators. These House managers slash sort of prosecutors are going to be making the case to this body.
Exactly. We don't know how long they'll have to do it, but during President Bill Clinton's impeachment, they had a total of 24 hours to lay out their case to all the senators.
That now in the Clinton impeachment, that was 13 House managers, if I remember from your story. And so they collectively had 24 hours, not 24 hours each to make some sort of case.
Yeah, otherwise it would
thankfully
go on for a very long time. Yeah.
No. Right. So how are these folks picked, let's say, the seven that Speaker Pelosi has chosen?
So it looks like Speaker Pelosi picked the group of people to try to create a geographically diverse caucus that also reflects the diversity of the overall House Democratic caucus. So You have people who led the impeachment inquiry in the first place, Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff and Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler, as well as other Democrats that have been through other impeachments before. So Representative Zoe Lofgren, for instance, from California, was a staff member during Richard Nixon's impeachment and was a member of the House during Bill Clinton's impeachment.
Mm. We're speaking with Nicholas Wu, politics reporter at USA Today. He's got a piece entitled, What is an Impeachment Manager and What Do They Do? I sort of, I'll ask this kind of tongue-in-cheek, and I'm not trying to be political, but you quoted an expert in your story who said kind of the ideal choice is somebody who's not overly partisan. It seems to be a difficult thing to do right now.
Yes, but I mean, what you see among one of the choices of managers is Representative Jason Crow from Colorado, who represents a swing district right outside Denver, and was actually a part of a group of seven Democrats with national security backgrounds who helped to move support for impeachment forward last September.
And then the rules still have to be determined, right? You mentioned the 24-hour period that these House managers had during the Clinton impeachment trial. We're still waiting to hear what those rules are going to be, and the Senate or the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell could just make them as he sees fit, or does he solicit input from the Senate?
Yeah, so Senator McConnell has said that he would probably mirror the rules that were used during the Clinton impeachment, but we're still trying to figure out exactly what the timing will be. Those rules will probably be coming sometime very soon.
Right. And I thought what was interesting, too, the way you kind of wrapped up your story with what happens to these managers after. What does history tell us?
Well, you know, it's a very high-risk or high-reward position for the people that fill this. For some, it can boost their careers. You know, Congressman Chabot, who I talked to, represents a somewhat swing district in Ohio. But he's won every single election since then, even, you know, when Bill and Hillary Clinton came to campaign against him. But there was one person I thought was interesting, one of the managers then, James Rogan, a congressman from California, who actually lost to the congressman who led the inquiry this time, Adam Schiff.
Thanks, Nicholas. Nicholas Wu, politics reporter at USA Today. The U.S. and China have put signatures on a trade deal that officials say will accomplish three main things: significantly increase sales of U.S. goods and services to China, further open Chinese markets to foreign firms, and provide strong new protections for trade secrets and intellectual property. The eight-part agreement acts as a ceasefire in a two-year trade war that has roiled markets worldwide and cut into global growth.
Together we are righting the wrongs of the past and delivering a future of economic justice and security for American workers, farmers, and families.
President Trump says he's leaving in place U.S. tariffs on about $370 billion in Chinese goods. Possible tariff reductions will be left to later negotiations, which, the Wall Street Journal says, will cover a host of difficult issues at the heart of the trade battle, including Chinese subsidies to domestic companies and Beijing's oversight of Chinese state-owned firms. Those talks are expected to begin fairly soon. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Ever wanted to learn how to play guitar or bass? Try the Fender Play app for guitar, bass, and ukulele. With Fender Play, you can play your first song in just minutes from experienced instructors. I've always wanted to learn to play the guitar, and this app makes it so easy. Fender Play goes step by step, tailored to your musical taste, all from your phone, tablet, or computer. With a Fender Play membership, you can master chords, songs, and techniques at your own pace, track progress in their app, get support in Fender's exclusive online community, and get unlimited access to hundreds of lessons for an entire year, all for less than the average cost of one traditional music lesson. For a limited time, new members can try Fender Play free for 2 weeks and save 50% off a Fender Play annual plan. Go to Fender.com/podcast and enter the special offer code MORNING at checkout. Offer ends Monday, January 20th at midnight Pacific time, so act fast. That's Fender.com/podcast and use the offer code MORNING to try it free, save 50%, and start learning today. Fender.com/podcast and the code MORNING. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Thursday. Two of the darlings of the liberal wing of the Democrat Party had largely left each other alone during the presidential primary season, but that ended ahead of Tuesday night's debate in Iowa when Elizabeth Warren said Bernie Sanders told her in private 2 years ago that a woman couldn't win the presidency Mr. Sanders denied he said that, and he denied it again during the debate. Then hot microphones on CNN after the debate captured how raw the feelings still are. CNN revealed their exchange last night.
I think you called me a liar on national TV. I think you called me a liar on national TV.
Let's not do it right now. You want to have that discussion, we'll have that discussion. You called me. You told me. All right, let's not do it now.
It appears Ms. Warren refused to shake the hand, too, of Mr. Sanders as she went to confront him following the debate at Drake University in Des Moines. Businessman Tom Steyer was standing between them during the exchange. As Mr. Sanders walked away, Mr. Steyer went to talk to him and said, I don't want to get in the middle of it. I just want to say hi, Bernie. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with three big things you need to know.
Number one, Gordon, the Senate is taking the handoff from the House of the articles of impeachment against President Trump and preparing for a trial set to get underway next week. Yesterday, after a dramatic procession across the Capitol, House Democrats notified the Senate of its delivery of the articles with a more formal presentation to follow today. Chief Justice John Roberts will preside at the trial, administering the oath to senators who will serve as jurors and swear to deliver impartial justice. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
The Chief Justice will swear in all of us senators. We'll pledge to rise above the petty factionalism and do justice for our institutions, for our states, and for the nation.
Number two, a close associate of President Trump's personal lawyer says he delivered an ultimatum in May to the incoming president of Ukraine that no senior U.S. officials would attend his inauguration and all U.S. aid to the war-torn country would be withheld if an investigation into Joe Biden wasn't announced. Lev Parnas, an associate of Rudy Giuliani, made several potentially explosive claims in a televised interview on MSNBC.
Rudy told me after meeting at the president at the White House, he called me. The message was, it wasn't just military aid, it was all aid. Basically, the relationships would be sour, that we would stop giving him any kind of aid.
Parnas says President Trump knew exactly what was going on. Number three, the U.S. and China have signed what's being called a first phase trade agreement aimed at lowering tensions in the long-running dispute between the world's two biggest economies, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin.
This is a historic day. We've been working on this a long time. First time there's a fully enforceable trade agreement with China. I think it's a great win for American business, American farmers, and American workers.
The deal is expected to boost exports from U.S. farmers and manufacturers and protect U.S. trade secrets, but it leaves unresolved many of the complaints voiced by the Trump administration when it started the trade war. And if you've ever felt guilty about leaving your pet home alone, fear not. Spotify is here to help. The audio streaming site has launched a series of pet playlists and a new podcast intended to calm pets left on their own. The podcast includes human voices, relaxing music, and ambient sounds such as rain.
Nice. Could you use that for your cats?
I leave the radio on for my kittens. The kittens that I foster.
Every day.
Yep.
I really need something on a loop that says, get down. Get down. Get off the bed. That's what I need that one. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour. Have you been a diligent saver during your working years? Upon retirement, you'll likely find it tough to transform yourself into a happy spender. It's not a problem you'll read much about because it isn't exactly a widespread affliction. Insight from personal finance expert Jonathan Clements, founder and editor of HumbleDollar.com. Jonathan, explain.
Well, if you think about the typical person who's really good at saving for retirement, the person there who's often like the millionaire next door, the person who quietly accumulates a huge portfolio by living frugally, reaching retirement and saying, okay, I'm no longer going to save, I'm going to become a spender and spend down this huge nest egg that I've accumulated, that for a lot of people can be a deeply uncomfortable experience. Essentially, you're saying to yourself, do it the exact opposite of what you've been doing for the past four decades. And a lot of people simply can't bring themselves to do it. These are retirees who just won't spend money on themselves, even though they have these great big nest eggs.
Yeah. So how do you square that? You know, once that Monday comes and you're not showing up on the job and collecting that paycheck, how are you supposed to piece that together in your mind?
I think the first thing to do is say to yourself, there is no virtue in just going out and spending money because you have it. If you find it deeply uncomfortable to spend great gobs of money, don't do it. If you're much happier having the money and having the sense of financial security that comes with it, there is nothing wrong with that choice.
You said you can obviously, but get more enjoyment out of spending on others. Try it that way.
Yeah, that's a strategy that I think could work for a lot of people. You know, if you're reluctant to spend money on yourself, how about spending it on your family or on your friends? You know, pick up the tab when you go out to dinner. Pay for the family reunion. Pay for everybody to go on vacation. And don't forget about charities as well. If you're charitably inclined, you know, use your money to help the causes that really matter to you. One of the things the research shows us is that spending money on others tends to deliver more happiness than spending it on ourselves. So if you make this choice to spend on your family, on your friends, or to give to charity, you may actually be happier than those people who are spending the money on themselves.
We're speaking with Jonathan Clements. He's the founder and editor of HumbleDollar.com, and he's written a piece entitled Opening the Spigot. And it's about how retirees can suddenly be leery of spending money in retirement when all they've done is save during their working years. What else do you recommend here?
Well, if you're not going to spend the money yourself and you are going to leave it to the kids or you're going to leave it to charity, you better make sure that these people and these organizations are prepared for the money you're going to give them. So let's say there's a couple of charities that you really care about. You know, start tracking them for a while. You know, make a donation, see how they communicate with you, you know, read their regular reports to contributors. Get some sense for whether this is really a charity that you want to leave your wealth to.
Jonathan Clements at HumbleDollar.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. SimpliSafe Home Security is like getting commercial-grade security, but for your own home. This is exactly the kind of security you get with SimpliSafe. If there's a break-in, SimpliSafe uses real video evidence to give police an eyewitness account of the crime. And that means police dispatch up to 350% faster than for a normal burglar alarm. Outdoor cameras and doorbells alert you to anyone approaching your home. Entry, motion, and glass break sensors guard the inside. Plus, SimpliSafe protects your home from fires, water damage, and carbon monoxide poisoning. It's all monitored 24/7 by live security professionals. You can set up your system yourself with no tools needed, or SimpliSafe's experts can do it for you. And it's only 50 cents a day with no contracts. Go to simplisafe.com/Gordon today to get free shipping on your order, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's simplisafe.com/Gordon. To save on home security today. SimpliSafe.com/Gordon.
Catch America's First News online anytime at ThisMorningWithGordonDeal.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday, January 16. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Pelosi signs articles of impeachment and sends them to the Senate. Trump signs a China trade deal. Iran today said it's now enriching more uranium than before the 2015 nuclear accord. Dow closes above 29,000 for the first time. President expected today to announce safeguards for students to pray in school. LSU says some football players may have received cash from Odell Beckham after Monday's win. And Indiana's oldest state employee is retiring. Find out how old he is in about 20 minutes. Americans are dying of heart disease and strokes at a rising rate in middle age, normally considered the prime years of life. An analysis of U.S. mortality statistics by the Wall Street Journal shows the problem is geographically widespread. Death rates from cardiovascular disease among people between the ages of 45 and 64 are rising in cities all across the country, including in some of the most unlikely places. Betsy McKay at the Wall Street Journal has done some in-depth analysis and joins us now. Betsy, what have you uncovered?
Well, you know, we did this analysis to find where across the country that middle-aged people were dying increasingly of heart disease and strokes. We know that nationwide, people in the prime of their life are increasingly dying of these diseases, but we didn't know where. And we found, you know, in this analysis, we found the increases. So we were looking at increases, not the actual, you know, rate. Increases, three Colorado cities or metro areas were in the top 10, which was a surprise to us. But what it really shows is this is happening everywhere.
And why? Is there a reason why?
Yes, and it's a subject of a lot of research. I mean, you know, people believe, researchers, cardiologists believe that it's a combination of things. It's mainly rising
obesity and diabetes rates everywhere across the country, including in Colorado. They also talk about, you know, high blood pressure that people may have without obesity and diabetes, drug and alcohol use, stress, lack of exercise, you know, and what this shows really is that changes that have taken place in our society and culture over the past 30, 40 years are really starting to take a toll. Changes that make us eat more, be more sedentary, probably, you know, more stress in our lives.
Yeah. What was startling to me, and I'm sure you as well, and I think sort of the sub-headline of the story pointed it out, you guys looked at these three cities in Colorado, Colorado Springs, Fort Collins, and Greeley. And I think, you know, most of these surveys identify Colorado as one of the healthiest states, right? You can ski, lots of places, you can hike,
right.
There's, you know, the weather's decent for exercise. Why is Colorado having problems?
Yeah, isn't it incredible? I mean, these are all cities along the Front Range, so they're very close to the Rocky Mountains. Very healthy, as you said. Even now, their heart disease rates are pretty low, although they've increased. But they're also part of this booming area. I mean, the life has really changed a lot around there in the past few years. Lots of growth, subdivisions popping up everywhere, a lot of influx into the states. You have, you know, clogged traffic. It's really just changing life. One of the things I should say is that the state health department actually looked at this question of whether, you know, their rates are changing because whether obesity and diabetes rates, for example, are going up because of the influx of people. You know, people moving from other parts of the country and bringing the bad habits with them. What they actually found was the opposite. They found that it's the existing state residents who have higher rates of obesity. So there's a problem right at home.
Jeez.
Too.
We're speaking with Betsy McKay, senior writer at the Wall Street Journal. Her piece is called Heart Disease Strikes Back Across the U.S., Even in Healthy Places, like Colorado, which figured prominently in her story. I guess the big question is now, I mean, all these awareness campaigns we have, does that mean they're not working? Do we have to think differently about this stuff?
I think what it shows is that this is just really hard to address. I mean, all of these places have, you know, bike trails, access to hiking and skiing, as we already said. But, you know, doctors I talked to there said, look, we also need to emphasize prevention more. The healthcare system needs to incentivize promoting prevention to patients, to help people stay healthy and not develop these diseases in the first place. Mm-hmm. So it's really this, I don't like this word, but multifactorial, but I think that's appropriate here. It's really needs to be addressed from many sides, not just a few. And it took a lot to create this problem. And, you know, what people I talk to say is it's going to take a lot to fix it or to turn it around.
Thanks, Betsy. Betsy McKay at The Wall Street Journal. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. By the way, there are more ways than ever to connect to America's First News on the go. You can download the This Morning with Gordon Deal app from the Apple or Google app stores. For more on all the ways to find our show at home, in the car, on the run, you can visit the Find Us page at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.
Now that Human Resources VP Ashley Campbell has Kronos for HR, payroll, talent, and time, she's managing her workforce like a rock star. She even has her own hype song.
I'm the spark before the fire. I'm the power in the train. I
have a really diverse workforce with different hours, skill sets, and pay grades.
Don't stop. I'm the dream and you should know that.
Now we're motivating and engaging the right people. Every step of the way.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. It is time now for the mic drop. with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, this news unfortunately slipped through the cracks when we were here yesterday morning, but yesterday was apparently National Bagel Day, and our home state of New Jersey, Gordon, seized the opportunity to declare itself the bagel capital of the world on social media via the state's official Twitter account, which, as you might imagine, had some people had some things to say about, especially our friends to the north and east in New York City. One supportive user wrote, "I take my bagel with Taylor ham," referencing a popular New Jersey delicacy, which is mired in its own controversy by those who say it's actually called pork roll. Many New York City residents shot back, saying the Big Apple would always be the bagel capital of the world. Another user professed their love for New Jersey, but said the state already perfected the hot dog and should just stick with that. And even the NYPD got involved, tweeting back at the state, "New Jersey is canceled." To which New Jersey clapped back, "Stick to donuts."
Ouch.
Which prompted the cops to shoot back, "Donuts are just bagels with frosting."
Ah.
It got a little heated there.
See that.
For a minute. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have as much of an opinion on bagels as I do with, say, pizza, yeah, for instance. You know, bagels, as long as they're decent, that's all I care about. But I always heard that the bagels in New York were the best bagels because of the water, some specific water that gets pumped into New York City, yeah, that only they get.
Right.
So that's why the bagels in New York are so good, and nobody else's bagels can compare for that reason.
I must say, even kind of traveling up and down the East Coast, it's difficult to get the type of bagel we expect,
right,
outside of New York and New Jersey.
Yeah.
Whether some people don't like those kind of bagels and prefer like a Dunkin' bagel is, I guess, open to interpretation.
Who are those people that prefer the Dunkin' bagel?
I don't know. Oh, my daughter. For
really? Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe we should send her out to the Midwest, perhaps. But
I've heard the water thing, too. Same thing with pizza. I don't know. It's something...
Yes.
Who knows?
I don't know. Well, they're both good. Let's
By the
face
way,
facts.
On National Bagel Day yesterday,
yeah,
not knowing it was National Bagel Day.
Yeah, neither did I.
I went all in.
Oh, did you?
With my sandwich. I'll review. Salt bagel.
Of course.
With butter.
Uh-huh.
With sausage, egg, and cheese.
Right. That
a little
is your
ketchup.
Yeah.
And some pepper.
That is your standard breakfast sandwich.
1,000 calories in one fell swoop.
Yeah, not to mention the sodium. 1,000 mm-hmm. or so grams
oh, yeah,
of sodium.
Bring it on.
And fans of cheap beer, Gordon, might be wishing for more snow this winter after a beer company offers to lower their prices as more of the white stuff falls. Busch Beer took to Twitter yesterday to announce that residents of several snowy states can take $1 off their Busch Beer purchase for every inch of snow that falls during the winter season. The discount comes in the form of a rebate, which can be cashed in on their website, where you can also track how many inches of snow are in the official tally. Unfortunately, this promotion only applies to 7 states, so here's hoping for heavy snow for Michigan, Minnesota, North Dakota, Nebraska, New York, and Wisconsin.
Mm.
And omitted is pretty much the entire region of New England, which I don't quite understand. I don't know why they've been left out. And we here in New Jersey have been left out as well. We could expect usually a foot or so of
right.
snow per winter.
Are they afraid to include a state like Colorado also?
Right.
Right. 4 feet might get you a significant discount
yeah.
over the course of a winter.
Yeah,
right?
Maybe that's what they're afraid of. Maybe they're afraid of, spending a little too much money on this promotion.
Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Ever wanted to learn how to play guitar or bass? Try the Fender Play app for guitar, bass, and ukulele. With Fender Play, you can play your first song in just minutes from experienced instructors. I've always wanted to learn to play the guitar, and this app makes it so easy. Fender Play goes step by step, tailored to your musical taste, all from your phone, tablet, or computer. With a Fender Play membership, you can master chords, songs, and techniques at your own pace, track progress in their app, get support in Fender's exclusive online community, and get unlimited access to hundreds of lessons for an entire year, all for less than the average cost of one traditional music lesson. For a limited time, new members can try Fender Play free for 2 weeks and save 50% off a Fender Play annual plan. Go to Fender.com/podcast and enter the special offer code MORNING at checkout. Offer ends Monday, January 20th at midnight Pacific time, so act fast. That's Fender.com/podcast and use the offer code MORNING to try it free, save 50%, and start learning today. Fender.com/podcast and the code MORNING. Thanks for joining us. There's more bad news about the flu. The CDC says the main strain of flu that's circulating right now doesn't exactly match what's in this year's flu shot. However, officials say the strain in the vaccine may still be close enough to offer some protection. At the start of the season, officials noticed something very unusual. The main strain of flu virus circulating was a type called influenza B. Typically, influenza B does not cause as many cases as influenza A strains. It tends to show up later in the flu season, not at the beginning. Adding to that, Live Science previously reported that some evidence suggests that influenza B may be more deadly in children than in adults. The new info from the CDC details cases of flu among children in Louisiana, where flu has hit particularly hard. Louisiana's elevated flu activity dates all the way back to October, 3 months ago. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with three big things you need to know.
Number one, Gordon, the impeachment of President Trump is now in the hands of the Senate. The trial of the House's abuse and obstruction charges gets underway today with ceremonial and housekeeping matters that set up the Senate as a court of impeachment next week. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
The emphasis is on litigators. The emphasis is on comfort level in the courtroom. The emphasis is making the strongest possible case to protect and defend our Constitution.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says Chief Justice John Roberts will take his oath as the trial's presiding officer, and he will in turn swear in the senators who act as jurors. Arguments get underway Tuesday. Number two, Lev Parnas, a key player in President Trump's efforts to obtain a Ukrainian investigation of Joe Biden and his son, gave a bombshell interview to MSNBC last night that undercuts the president's defense just as the impeachment trial gets underway. Parnas says efforts to convince Ukraine's government to announce an investigation of the Bidens was never about corruption, and President Trump was directly involved.
President Trump knew exactly what was going on. He was aware of all of my movements. I wouldn't do anything without the consent of Rudy Giuliani or the president.
Parnas, who has been indicted on campaign finance violations, has turned over notes, text messages, and other information to House investigators. He says he came forward because he wants to get the truth out. Number three, a federal judge has temporarily blocked a Trump administration order that allowed state and local governments to refuse the resettling of refugees, finding the policy likely unlawful. The district judge in Maryland ordered the preliminary injunction on the Trump administration's executive order, which requires state and local governments to affirmatively consent to the receiving of refugees. The decision comes less than a week after Texas Governor Greg Abbott said his state would not accept new refugees, making it the first in the nation to do so. And it'll be the old guard versus the new once again, this time in the Australian Open. Coco Gauff and Venus Williams will meet for the second time in the first round of a tennis Grand Slam tournament. Gauff, of course, had a breakout run at Wimbledon last year when she went through qualifying, upset Williams in the first round, and became the first 15-year-old to reach the round of 16 there since Martina Hingis in 1996.
That's too early to meet.
I know.
Can't they tweak that behind the scenes? Oh, shoot, it's Gauff and Williams. Let's switch that.
I know. It's a bummer. We should see this later on.
I agree. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. The oldest state employee in Indiana is finally calling it a career. Bob Vollmer, who is 102, is retiring after nearly six decades on the job as a surveyor for the Indiana Department of Natural Resources, the DNR. The World War II vet joined the agency in 1962, still travels the state, collecting technical field data and confirming boundary lines. Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb yesterday recognized his government service by presenting Mr. Vollmer with the Sagamore of the Wabash, one of the state's highest honors. Mr. Vollmer enlisted in the Navy after the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. After his service, he graduated in 1952 with a degree in biological and agricultural engineering from Purdue University. His final day will be February 6. Mr. Vollmer said he plans to spend his retirement reading and farming. His doctor, by the way, credits his longevity to good lungs. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.